Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15.
The last thing I recorded was 11 through 15.
11 through 15. All right, we'll start then at verse 11 and try to make it down to verse, well, let's start at verse 11. We're in 15. Paul is closing up his... wrapping up his epistle to the Corinthians. And we talked about why he says, I believe he saved this for last because it's the most important subject that they were erring in, the resurrection. And you know that everything we talked about last week, that everything hinges, everything hinges on the resurrection. If it were not for the resurrection, there's no way that Christ could carry out his ministry, and there's no way you can carry out yours, or the Corinthians could carry out theirs, or we could carry out ours.
You understand? No power.
No power, right. Without the resurrection, there's no power. As a matter of fact, Ephesians, where he called it the exceeding greatness of his power in Ephesians, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And that power is not only enables him when he rose from the dead. In Matthew, he says what? Matthew 28, when he rose from the dead, he said,
all power and authority.
That's right. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
So in other words, the power and all the glory with it that Satan tried to tempt him with.
He had the whole, you know what, he was, and that's what he came for, is to repossess the creation to himself, to reconcile all things to himself. Where when he resurrected, he said the resurrection allowed him, enabled him to say that. And it was true. And not only that is, I'm going to put this up here because we...
It also was the final validation that he was...
who he claimed to be. Now, I'm going
to
put this up here only because we talked about this, but I want to try to... I want to try to put this up here so we can remember it in this... Yes, and that's the 4 R's, right. Well, this is because this helps me. This helps me put things in perspective. You can go into any book, any passage. If you keep this in mind, you will at least know what you'll have focus. You may not understand all the verses, but I guarantee you keep reading with this in mind, it'll fall into place. There's all these things going to play, but God's, the whole aim, when I put these up here, where the whole aim is that God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world to himself. And the one thing that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 is that that in the fullness of times that God might reconcile all things in Christ, or in heaven and in earth. That is what he's doing, is in repossessing the heaven and earth to himself, which had been usurped by the God of this world and the prince of the power of the air. He's coming to take these things back that are his. And what he does, is he will repopulate those spheres, and the process by which it's done is redemption. That's how he enables the people, the redeemed, to carry out his purpose and plan. So anywhere you pick up, if you go into any passage in any book, if you keep those things in mind, and you can, this is just a basic framework. You can expand on those things, because even when you get to the people, the redeemed, they still have to be, their minds have to be renewed so they're on the same page. So when you, like the Corinthians, for example, when you take this framework right here, they didn't know where they were in these two processes right here. They didn't know God was using them for those processes. They didn't know who they were. They didn't receive Paul's instruction, so their mind was never what? Renewed as to what's really going on here. So what Paul writes, he can't tell them all that. Hold your hand. Look at chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Chapter 2. What's the matter?
I'm sorry, what I was writing, I didn't hear.
Chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and chapter 7. What's the matter, Jenny?
Possession.
I can't write.
Repossess. I started writing it and then I was like, wait a minute.
I did graduate. What's that?
6 and 7.
What is that?
1 Corinthians 2.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians chapter 2
is because people don't look at the overarching, what you have on the board, that people don't know how to rightly divide. Because
Say it again.
Because people don't understand the overarching theme and purpose of what's going on in the whole scripture, that they don't rightly divide. They don't see it from the big picture.
Right.
They see it very myopically, and they pull everything in.
You know, most believers are like the Corinthians. They think it's all about them. They have no idea that there's a small part of a plan. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul, he speaks to the Corinthians. You know what? Chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Verse 6. Now back to chapter 2, verse 6. As a matter of fact, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Verse 4, verse 3. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are what? Mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that are come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world to what?
Our glory.
Which if none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have allowed the Lord to be resurrected. They would have never, right. Well, they would have never crucified him. That's why, if they knew the glory that was hinging on the resurrection, they would have never crucified him as workers with the adversary. And if the Corinthians knew the glory that was prepared for them, they wouldn't give Paul a hard time. They would have been on board with him. If believers knew today, if believers knew what Paul said that he knew, that he couldn't tell them, if they knew that, we wouldn't have all these shenanigans in churches. We wouldn't have all these false doctrines floating around. We wouldn't have all, you know, people being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But I, as verse 9, but as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that what? Love him. Well, I thought all believers loved the Lord. And we talked about that, didn't we? We won't go there tonight, though. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And he goes on to say that we have the Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, I'm saying us, but he, at the time, he's talking to the Corinthians. Look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?
Job asked that question.
Nobody. Well, nobody knows. But Paul said this, but we have the what? He let us in on his purpose and plan. You should be happy to serve. You should be happy to hear more about it. But the Corinthians, because they were carnal, were dull of hearing. He equipped them as redeemed members and tried to what? Renew their minds so they could labor with him. But all they can see is, you want to see my gift today?
I got a new one for you.
Chapter 7. Chapter 6, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. And then we'll go back to 15. Chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? He just gave him two what? He just gave them the what? Two spheres of operation right there. They had no idea what's in store for them. But if they had this in mind, if they had the ours in mind, do you think they would be more equipped to handle what Paul was giving them? Yeah, they wouldn't be ignorant, would they? But that's why he wrote it. That's why he wrote Corinthians. All right, chapter 15. Now, all this hinges on what? The resurrection. So when Paul gets down to 15, you see how important this is that they understand what all this happens by what? All this is possible by what?
Resurrection.
the resurrection. Without this, there's none of this. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Without this, none of this can happen. Okay? He says, and that's why he talks about their resurrection, how important it was. And he says, verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. 15:11. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, I use an example is, and this is a bad example, but this is what I'm thinking is, if I'm filling the bucket and you're working with me, I don't need you to punch a hole in it. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm filling it up, then what you did is going what? Right out the bottom. We're not making progress. And Paul says, look, I declare it was they or me. We told you that he got up. So how say some of you who are working with me that there's no resurrection? If you do that, that defeats all these purposes.
You can't have one without
that one being the main one. Because he says, what'd you say? That one being what?
They can't have any of these without the other.
Right.
It's like the whole thing breaks down if you're...
It does.
Yeah.
13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Romans chapter 1, he says that he was declared to be, I think somebody said it, the Son of God with
power
by
the resurrection.
He was declared to be the Son of God. Hebrews said, this day have I begotten thee. This day, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee.
First begotten of the dead.
We're getting up there. He says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is
vain.
And your faith is also vain. He says, you have nothing. If this didn't happen, you have nothing to... We have nothing to preach, and you have nothing to believe. If Christ is not risen. He says, yea, verse 15, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. Now, you think about this. I'm going to erase this. He says, if he didn't resurrect, then that's not too good. He says, if we are found what? False witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. You know what? When you look through Scripture, if...
In other words, we'd be calling God a liar.
We'd be calling God, and Scripture said that God that cannot lie. He promised this before the world began. He cannot lie. Now you go through... If there's no resurrection...
He's taking them through a logic process.
The lie starts way back here where in Genesis, where he talks about the seed. When Eve had Seth, or when Eve had Cain, mm-hmm. Know what she says? I got what?
Man.
You know what she meant?
Yeah.
I got. That's what she said, I got that man with the seed. I got him. That's, you know what? Where it's appointed. She says, I got that man that God promised. Wrong man, no. then she got right. So then, but, and she says that I have gotten the replacement. Nope. Not quite. When you go through there, you have that Abraham and Isaac figure. What's that a figure of? When he says, take your son, your what? Whom thou lovest, take him up to the mount and there offer him. And he goes up there. If there's no resurrection, God had, he started this lie way back here. If there's no resurrection. And he's Abraham, Isaac. All the prophets. All prophets lied. David. He lied. Psalms. You know what? You got Psalm, I think Psalm 16, where he says that he will not suffer my soul to what? David lied. Who else? Even when the Lord shows up, you know what he told them? He says, You destroy this temple.
Right.
In 3 days I'll raise it up.
That's direct. Or he says that this commandment I have of my Father. He says I can do what? I can lay down my life, but I have power to what? See all the people that that's in on this lie? If that's the case. But he says, oh, I lost my page. He says, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God. That he what? That he raised him up. Watch this. Look at Acts chapter 1. I'm getting ready to erase that.
That's why I want to take a picture of before you erase it. So I don't have to scramble to get it in my notes until I get home tonight.
Well, that wasn't for you to jot down. That was just for...
Well, I'm going to jot more to it when I write my notes, but I'll do it later.
Filler. That's okay. Acts chapter 1, right? First thing you see, he says what? The former treaties have I made, chapter 1, verse 1, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day which he was taken up, after through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles of whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many what?
Infallible proofs.
Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom. Many what?
Infallible
proofs. Look at chapter 2.
Well, the 500, in addition to everybody else, many of which are still among us today.
We found out last week there were quite a few witnesses.
Yep.
Chapter 2. And verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God what?
Raised.
Hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should what?
Beholden
of it. First, huh?
No, I just said I'm doing the study through Thessalonians and something just really clicked in writing.
Okay.
It's exciting.
31. Same chapter, verse 31. He, 30. Therefore, being a prophet, he's talking about David. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would
raise up
Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. That's David in Psalm 16. Neither did his flesh see what?
Corruption.
This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all what? Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which Holy Ghost he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until thy enemies be made thy footstool. Did he resurrect him?
Yes.
He's saying it all through chapter 3. Just look at a couple of these verses. Chapter 3, verse 18. But ye deny the Holy One. I know I read it 14. I know. I don't want to say go back one more. But he denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are what? Witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Where we got verse, look at chapter, where we at? Chapter 4. Let's see. Yes, I missed that. I was going too far down. Chapter 4, verse 10, he says, be it known unto you all that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. You know what? You haven't got four chapters yet, and he's told you like five times, I did what? He raised them up. So, like I said, if you got to keep the lies, Paul said, back to Corinthians, he says, if this is not true, we made a whole lot of false claims. A lot of people made a lot of false claims about Jesus. Verse 15, he says, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is what?
Vain.
And ye are yet in your sins. That's why I erased that. There's nothing to celebrate. One of the things we talked about when the Corinthians were eating the Lord's Supper, that's one of the things he was trying to explain to them, was to, when you did this, you show the Lord's death till he come. Not just the fact that, oh, he died and it was, that's a bad thing. It was showing what was accomplished by it. So that's what he says, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Look at Colossians chapter 2. This is, see, when he talks about the cross, he's got in mind a much bigger scope than the Corinthians had.
Colossians
chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
Cross.
Okay, wait. What does he mean, the cross? Because on the cross he was defeated. He died. They buried him. How did he triumph over them in it?
By coming back.
By resurrecting. That completed the defeat. You can't make a show. They couldn't make a show of them openly until he showed himself what?
Alive.
Openly.
Infallible proof.
Right. He said he showed himself openly. That, you know what? He is up. So all the claims he made, he says, guess what? They said, that deceiver said he was going to get up the third day. But guess what? When they went to the tomb, that deceiver turned out to be what?
True.
And when he resurrected, he says, now I have it. What I came for. When he talks about, one of the scriptures says that he, you know what, he set his face like a
flint.
And when he gets there, we know what he did. He goes through all those things, all the scriptures fulfilled. Because he has to, you can barely see that, he has to cover that redemption. In order to do the rest of these things, everything has to be right. Everything has to be perfect. He can't leave anything undone. And the scripture said, and Jesus, seeing that all things were accomplished. All what things?
That were written of him in the scriptures.
He had a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, son, this is the repossession checklist. This is all you got to do here. You know, when you move, they give you moving the list, all you got. Gas, check the utilities, make sure you get the tax papers, all that stuff. You got to do all that. Well, the Lord is saying this, you got to recover this thing. He's got a whole checklist there. And he says, and when he gets through, he says, anything left? Anything left? Nope. All right, Father. And the Lord, you know what? Instead of coming and delivering him, he turns away. And he says, you know what he says. My God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? And the Lord, I'm just saying this, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but he said, you know the plan. This has to be. When he resurrects, that's when he goes, when he sees him, he says, it behooved the Son to what? Suffer and die. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things, must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. You know what? The Corinthians would say, well, all those lies had to be fulfilled. That's what Jesus said. He says, all those things they lied about, he said, those things I had to do. He says, concerning me, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You know when Paul said this? That he died for our sins, what?
According to the scriptures.
And that he was buried and he rose again the third day, what?
According to the scriptures.
And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. You know what behoove means? He found great enjoyment in that. Didn't seem like it in the garden, did it? But he's, you know what? He says, it behooved to do that. He triumphed over them in it. Okay, Corinthians. He says, but if that didn't happen, he's showing the Corinthians, he says, if that didn't happen, he says, you're what? Yet 17? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men what?
Most
miserable. You know, think about in the scriptures where, well, you mentioned Job, where back in Job's day, he's waiting for what?
Redemption, resurrection.
He says, I know. He says, in my
flesh, I will see him.
What? That's way back in Job's day. Job, that's prophecy.
That was going into Egypt. Job was
that's prophecy.
Went into Egypt.
He says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are what?
Perished.
You know, you think about there's a lot of people who died in hope. They died. Got a whole list of them. That's anticipating
resurrection.
You know, I was watching something the other day. My wife bought a movie, and it was, what's the name of that movie? No, I was on TV. Well, she did, taped it off TV. Theory of the Universe?
Theory of
Everything. Yes. It was a Stephen Hawking movie. And, you know, it was really good movie. It was a really good movie because I didn't know anything about the guy. And you just, other than, you know, you see him in the chair. But I didn't know I don't want to ruin it for you. You might want to get that and watch it.
He wasn't always that way.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, this man is a genius, brilliant. Mm-hmm. But he didn't believe in God.
He's not that smart.
So he's not that smart. But but when you see that.
Starting to come around.
Really?
You know what?
I've heard him say there was no God.
Well, he's starting to see more and more things, and he's starting to.
That was kind of implied in the movie too, but let me tell you what. This is what got me. It was this where, you remember last week we were talking about in him we live and move and have our being. Mm-hmm. It is the fact that now you take a man like that he's a genius, mm-hmm. then he's trying to figure out how. Listen,
genius by the world standard.
He's trying to figure out how something came to be that's bigger than him. Let me rephrase that.
Oh, yeah.
More so than that, he's an astrophysicist.
He's trying to find the origin of something that was here before him. Okay, let me try another way. He's trying to drink the ocean through a glass of water.
Through a straw?
Through a straw. Is that better?
Yeah.
The task is too big for him.
Right.
Now, you think we already know from we were talking about last week about our mental capacity is limited.
Mm-hmm.
He might be a little higher than us. I guess genius level is in the 100s. But he's still not smarter than God. Mm-hmm. You can't trace this back Listen. How can you trace the creation back on this?
Right.
On a blackboard.
Why they got
sun? Well, what's funny is that I was watching National Geographic and they was talking about how the Earth was created, and you know naturally they talk about different particles they began to form and the Earth began to shape. Well, my question is that okay, where did the particles come from?
Listen, I don't care how many particles floating around, the particle won't turn up this.
Right.
Listen, there's a function for everything.
Sure.
What's this for?
Right.
What's this for?
To receive the chalk.
What's that for?
Many things.
What's this for?
Sit things on.
How about that?
Sit things in.
How about him? What's that for?
That's for me.
You won't share.
You got it. But, you know what? We know the purpose for everything else but you. That's what the scientific mind says. We just kind of happen. We're at the top of the... Hebrew said this, what is man... Listen, he says, what is man that your mind is full on him? Because he has something invested in man. When he put him there, the first thing he said was this, let us make man what? And let them Does that sound like something that just happened? Let them have dominion. Let them rule. Let them subdue. You know what kind of terms those are?
Military terms.
Go back to the R's.
Repossession.
Thank you. So the minute he puts them there, you know what's going on, don't you? You should, if you keep that in mind. And everything from there stems out from the purpose. Everyone, every time you hit it, if you get it somewhere, you might get bogged down, but just keep thinking about it. It'll clear you up.
So this is really a proxy war between the power of the Lord and Satan, which is, when you read that in Acts, it just really hit me hard, because when he's talking about all these infallible proofs and everything, and you read in Acts 2, where he says,
One.
The one where he says...
try one.
About the by many signs and...
Chapter 1.
Oh, was that chapter? I'm sorry.
Verse 3.
Take your time.
Hey, no, chapter 2. Chapter 2.
Where he says...
Verse 22.
Yeah. Right past it three times. When he says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." And then I was just studying Thessalonians, where it talks about that wicked is going to do signs, miracle signs, and all lying wonders, because the big test at the end is, was it this man that resurrected 2,000 years ago according to Daniel's timeline and
that's
everything
right.
in the book?
You see how that's all connected?
And that's why all those tests are laid out in John about if we say it's doctrine, if we say this, because, you know, the Antichrist is going to, the man of sin is going to rise. And we'll get, no, the Lord is the one that rises. Well, he does this. Well, the Lord did this. So you've got all these signs and lying wonders.
What's the purpose? Well, we won't get to, what's the purpose of the tribulation period? What's the purpose of that?
To purge Israel so that the true will manifest.
Not from what's the purpose from the adversary's point of view?
The purpose of it? Oh,
sure.
He wants to finalize his dominion as... It's just like when the Lord didn't accept his offer, when he says all power... Usurpations. The Lord didn't accept his offer. I'll give you all power and the glory.
The thing is still going on.
Yeah.
It's still going on.
And in the end, though, the key is which resurrection are you believing?
He knows it's over. The thing is, you don't know. because he knows one of the R's is this. He knows if you don't know, you don't go.
And he's going to take as many as he can.
Look, this, you know what? Did you see the game the other night? Football game? Mm-hmm. See the game the other night? That game was over. Did you see the game the other night?
No.
Okay. The matter of fact, the not just the Carolina game, that game was over long before it was over. Why didn't they just all sit down on the bench and say, you know what, it's over? That's not how, you know what, that's not how it goes. This thing, it ain't over until it's over. And last night I was watching the Warriors game. That was over long before it was over. But you know what? They kept playing.
That's why they call it regulation.
It's kind of like, this is already done.
That's, yeah. Look.
It's already done.
He's already. When he said, look, this says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. For Satan has come down as a roaring lion, seeking whom he would devour, because he knoweth that he. He don't say, you know what, forget it, I'm done, I'm whooped. He says, that's all right. He says, I'm going down. He says, but I'm not going down alone.
Yeah, because you know what, in games like that, that's when they start hurting people too.
That's the worst kind of opponent, who has nothing to lose. Listen, that's one of the things where when Paul starts talking about when he makes statements like in Corinthians, where he says we're not ignorant of his devices, when they are severing the member of the body off from the fellowship, they're not thinking. He says, we're not ignorant of his devices. That's a device of Satan. Look, if just take your regular body. If you cut any part of your body off, look, if it's fitly framed together and you cut something off, don't tell me that you won't miss it. Don't tell me it had nothing to do. Cut your bottom lip off.
Yeah. that's a strange opinion.
I know. That's.
But thanks for the visual.
You'll be constantly going
like this. Sorry. So, you get the picture, right? Okay. 15.
Thank you.
He says. Then they also, 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Most miserable. I think that was one of the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection, nor angels, nor spirits. And when Paul was debating, it was the two classes of the people. You remember those two people, the Epicureans and the Stoics?
Yep.
Where some was like, hey, whatever. When it's over, what?
It's over.
And the Epicurean says, yeah, it's over when it's over, but we're going to have fun while we're here. But neither, it's still. What happens after that? That's what made me get back on the Stephen Hawking thing. Is it? I thought it was. I tell my wife. I said, you know what? I said, what if? I ruined the movies for us because I said, you know what? This I already have a theory. This is what's going to happen. What if? This man with this brilliant mind, where God took everything from him but his mind. He couldn't do anything. He could talk through the machine, but can you imagine it? That the Lord says, "You don't believe in me, huh?"
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you what. Give me that arm. All right, give me that one. Give me that leg. Give me that leg. Give me your movement. Give me your speech. Give me your... He couldn't even eat.
Take it all back.
Until you say, uncle. Until you say, you know what? When he wakes up, and you know what? And the Lord will let him see these things.
Mm-hmm.
And come to the fact where he said, I'm going to make you a believer. You so smart. I'm just hypothetical. God did that to a man in the Old Testament. Who? Job? No, wasn't Job. Nebuchadnezzar. Remember Nebuchadnezzar?
7 years, he wild man, eating grass.
He took all that from him. You know what? When he came to his senses, he says, "We're gonna worship the God, the true God."
True God, yep.
But and that's where you think about. There's so much. What we were talking about last week. There's so much opposition to truth. Is because it's truth is, I want to say truth. Science is almost in direct opposition of faith. That's why Paul and Timothy, he says, avoid
science falsely so-called.
All that. Because it'll ruin you.
It's not faith, it's all intellectual.
Listen, let me ask you something before we close. You know how long people have been debating this thing called life? They've been, but look, they still. This is too easy. It's too easy. When you look at, that's why, you know what I say this all the time. I can't express this with enough gravity. When I say, look at us, and we are God's crowning creation, human beings. You can't tell me that there's not a purpose for us that's higher than what these scientists are trying to make. They say, "Yo, we just evolved." No, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. You will never make me believe that. Besides that, look, it's 2016. I want to catch one. Come on, catch one. I want to catch one. In transition, I want to catch one.
Oh, yeah. Why are there so
much? Yeah, I want to catch one. Now, TV, Planet of the Apes, they have you TV, they driving cars and talking and writing books. And that's TV. I want to see one. One.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
One. No, nobody? Not one? Anywhere?
Even science goes back to, like, how growing up they're always like, with the cavemen, we're doing this, and they haven't portrayed as being real stupid. And you're just like, it's like we were never that.
Listen. Where are we going to stop in a minute
here?
There
are some special people out there. But
last week, when we were talking about the, I don't know, you asked that question about Maseroth and all that stuff. Anyway, listen. Never mind.
Stop it.
That's what
you're doing.
That.
You can't do that.
You
do it on
purpose. I don't. Oh, we're out of time in there. We're out of time.
We're
going to pick up.
You ain't going to remember it next.
We're going to pick up next week. We'll pick it up next week. And
give us some homework.